And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. We're going to have a very informative, a very important program for you today. It's something that's been on my heart for many, many years. Really, it starts back in the 1980s as I first began this ministry and I exposed what was called and still is in many circles, the New Age movement. The New Age movement. I wrote many books about it, Dark Secrets of the New Age, Ravaged by the New Age, New Age Cults and Religions. And one of the things that I discovered as I looked at all of these false religions, counterfeit religions, pretending in some cases to be a form or a variant of Christianity, in addition to the obvious satanic nature, once you dug beneath the veneer of these seemingly humanitarian and good religions and cults, I discovered something quite interesting that at the time, as I began to look into them in a very deep way, that surprised me. I found that most of the New Age cults and religions were founded by Jews. Now, since it had not really come to me, the Holy Spirit had not spoken to my heart about the synagogue of Satan, and I looked at the world basically from a sort of a evangelical Christianity, Pentecostal Baptist type of reference or frame of mind, it did not strike me that the Jews were anything more than an Old Testament religious group, many of whom might come around in the last days and finally, as a remnant, believe in Jesus. It did not strike me to think that many Christians actually believe that the Jews were superior to all other races and that they alone were God's chosen people, as if God is a racist. But in any case, it marveled me that the New Agers would start all of these false religions and cults and the New Age movement. And then, I guess it's been a quarter of a century ago now, 25 years or so, I was in a number of satanic and New Age bookstores. Believe me, there are many bookstores. There are more satanic, New Age, and occult bookstores in America than there are Christian bookstores. I remember being, I think it was Kansas City, Missouri, and I asked the very nice Christian people that were at the Christian television station that I was appearing at as a guest, were they familiar with the New Age and occult bookstores in their city? And I remember the host of the program, her name was Debbie, very precious lady, who was, interviewing me. She said, well, I don't even know of one. And so I told her, well, go to this particular street and you'll find like three on that street. And then two streets over, you'll see two more New Age and occult bookstores. You know, I got a letter from her some months later. She said she was downtown and looked for those bookstores and there they were. She walked in them and she said, oh my goodness, these are not regular bookstores. They're not your Barnes and Noble. They're not your Zondervans or your family bookstores either. She was quite amazed by that. There are things going on in this world, folks, that will amaze us all. And I discovered that. I discovered the New Age movement was gigantic, but at its core was Judaism. That was surprising to me. Judaism. Now, Judaism, I also have discovered, is not Old Testament at all. That's only a small segment in the religion of Judaism. It is mostly made up of the Talmud, the book written by the rabbis themselves throughout the centuries, because they believe they're greater than God, and their counsel is more wise than God's, so they put their teachings and their laws into their own book. They could care less about the Bible as such, or the Old Testament. In addition to the Talmud, their book of laws, which they call the Halakha, the Jews also have a series of books that they call the Kabbalah, the chief of which is a book known as the Zohar. So you mix up the Talmud and the Kabbalah, and the Jews really, in their yeshivas, that is their religious academies and seminaries, have very little time to train rabbis on the Bible. In fact, I promise you, I tell you the truth when I say that at most seminaries or yeshivas for rabbis, they never open up the Bible, the Old Testament, the Torah, as you would call the first several books, at all. They don't even study the Bible. I'm afraid that's what's happening in a lot of so-called Christian seminaries today, too, by the way. They no longer study the Bible or think that it's anything but a book of myths and old ancient stories and guidelines for people that used to be, but that it's of no usefulness today. That's what many pastors believe about the Bible. But the Jews and their rabbis certainly believe this. And then I understood then why the New Age movement was, so many of its cults and organizations and religions were founded by the rabbis, by Jews. It's because all of their teachings in the New Age movement come right out of the Talmud and the Kabbalah. Freemasonry, for example, I discovered also is a Judaic cult. Mormonism is a Judaic cult. Jehovah's Witnesses is a Judaic cult. Now, I know this amazes people. You can talk to ex-Mormons, and even they themselves have not yet gotten it. Because you talk to these people, and they've written best-selling books exposing Mormonism. But if you ask them, what do you think about the Zohar? They'll say, the Zo what? Oh, see, that's the major book in the Kabbalah, which is really a whole set of volumes of devilish books. If I ask one of these ex-Mormons who has done a good job of exposing Mormonism as far as it goes, I suppose, if I ask him or her, well, what do you think about the Jewish Talmud? Can you even name one of its rules? One of the 618 laws of the Jewish Halakha. They'll say, what? They know nothing. And yet, when I start to tell an ex-Mormon who's escaped the clutches of this Judaic cult, this false religion, when I start to tell them about some of the provisions, some of the actual things they can read about in the Jewish Talmud, they say, wow, we did that in Mormonism. Wow, that's what Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, did. Wow, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that too. Oh my, then a spark of recognition comes across their faces. When I tell a man who is not in the clutches of Freemasonry, who has escaped the lodge and renounced it, when I take him to the 33 ritual ceremonies of Freemasonry, and I've exposed all 33, you'll have to get my CD or video, not video, but audio tape set entitled, let's see, what is that entitled, Jerry? I'm talking to Jerry, my broadcast engineer. I think it's The Devil is their God is the Devil. That's it. The title of it is Their God is the Devil. When I bring the 33 ritual ceremonies to their remembrance, most of these ex-Masons, former Masons who renounced it, never went as far as the 33rd degree, because by that time, Satan's already got your soul, friends. But I remember talking with a man named James Shaw, who had been honored by being given the 33rd degree. And he renounced it for Jesus Christ. Thank God for him. The late Jim Shaw became a pastor, in fact. But if I were to say to Jim Shaw, look at each one of these degrees. Now let's compare it with the Jewish Kabbalah. What do you say? Well, Mr. Shaw, who I discovered in my discussions with him, my talks with him when he was alive, would tell me, wow, that's the same thing. And of course it would have to be, because the former sovereign grand commander, the most celebrated of all Scottish Rite Freemasons, Albert Pike, in his classic textbook on the Masonic Lodge, in which he elaborated on all the rituals, stated that Freemasonry itself and all of the 33 rituals of this cult of the Masonic Lodge are based on the Jewish religion and the Kabbalah. Masonry is Jewish through and through. Its passwords, its codes, its hand signs, everything about it, it's lacerated with laced, some people might be nicer and say, with Judaism. Now, this is what I want to bring up to you today. I want to talk to you about the relationship of Judaism today to what is supposed to be biblical Christianity, evangelical Christianity. And I want to do it while we look at the coming of the man that the Bible warns will be the most evil human being perhaps ever to live, the Antichrist, the beast with the number 666 from Revelation 13 and other verses. You see, I am convinced that Judaism has grasped the very scalp of the Christian church. Now, it has not yet conquered the Christian church as a whole, because they're little mom and pop groups. They're people meeting in their homes. They don't even go to these big, fancy, rich churches. They're Christians. And they have the true Jesus Christ in their heart, and they're unstoppable. You cannot defeat the true Christian who has Jesus in his heart. He doesn't need the word Baptist or Pentecostal or Methodist or Presbyterian or some other name or title or label after following him, because he has Jesus in his heart. People ask me what denomination I am. I say, I don't believe in denominations. I'm not a denomination. I'm a Christian. Jesus didn't divide himself. In fact, he's the one that divides everything by kicking out the goats. He knows his sheep, and they know the way in. They know where to enter at the gate. But all those who are not in the fold of Jesus Christ, they're the outsiders. And Jesus knows they're not of him. He recognizes them as the fakes, as the false people. And I don't care if they have a name, Bishop so-and-so, or Cardinal so-and-so, or Pope this or that, or Monsignor. Most Reverend. Oh, yes. They love that kind of title, just like the rabbis do. Most Holy Reverend so-and-so. You'll remember the man who came to Jesus and called him Rabbi. He says, why do you call me Rabbi? Well, they call every religious teacher in the Judaic faith Rabbi. Jesus said, though, why do you call me Rabbi? You see, the person who wanted Jesus to answer his questions did not believe that Jesus was God. Now, the word rabbi in Hebrew means master. Jesus has called no man rabbi except your Father in heaven. He's the master, in other words. Don't call any man rabbi. If Jesus were a man, he doesn't deserve the title. And a man only, that is, he doesn't deserve the title of master. But if he is truly God, then call him master. It's no problem at all. It's all right to pray and call Jesus Master, Lord, Savior, Sovereign, Your Majesty. Because He is all those words and better ones that we cannot even imagine or think up. But you see, this person was, I'm sure, probably a very holy religious person in the Judaic faith. But he must not have recognized standing in front of him was God, Jesus. Emmanuel in the flesh. So Jesus said, why do you call me master? Why do you call me rabbi? If you think I'm only a man, you shouldn't call me that, because only God deserves a title like that. And this is one of the things you see in Christendom today. There's a growing use of titles among the Messianic so-called Jews, the Christian Jews, and they have become pastors today of some of the largest churches, and they want to be called Rabbi. I'm Rabbi Goldberg. I have a Christian Messianic congregation. Are you God, Rabbi? Well, no. Well, why do you call yourself Rabbi then? You know, I was in the U.S. Air Force in the chaplaincy. I objected to calling Catholic priests father. They're not my father. They're not my father. Don't call anybody but your father in heaven. Except your earth. If you have a blood father, it's okay to call him father. But in a religious standpoint, this man has no real blood relation to you. He's a Catholic priest, and you're going to call him father? He's not your father. If you have an earthly father, then that's fine. Your dad, your father, what are you going to call him? That's fine. But it's understood that he's not your spiritual father. There's only one great father. He's father of the whole universe and all of the galaxies, everything. Things seen and unseen. But we have today rabbis in the Christian church, and it shouldn't be. We shouldn't have fathers and Monsignor and popes, and the Bible gives us the rules. There is a place for a bishop, it says. There is a place for pastors and teachers, but I don't see anywhere where it says, now call the religious people over, you call them father, call them rabbi. Exactly the opposite. But they love these titles. A man who wants to be called rabbi loves to be called master. The gurus in India love to be called master. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to call him rabbi. My name is Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. Glad to meet you, Mr. Boteach. That'd be my response. My name is Father Jackson. I'm a Catholic priest. Nice to meet you, Mr. Jackson. I'll give you at least the honor of being a mister. But you're not father. I don't mean to be mean or cruel about this. I'm just telling you the truth. Words have meaning, great meaning. The tongue is a mighty instrument, friends. Now, these Zionists, these Israel firsters, these rabbis, and all the other people who have brought Zionism into the Christian church, who have Judaized the Christian church today, the John Hagees of this world, and all the others, they are bringing the Christian church down. Dear friends, now this is the house of Israel is what Jesus called in Matthew 23, and you can read about it in John 8 too. He called them serpents, a generation which means a race or nation of vipers. And he mocked them and said, how can you escape the damnation of hell, ye serpents? And we're going to call them father. We're going to call them master. Rabbi, don't dare to do something like that. Do not desecrate the name of the true master, dear friends. Now listen, I've been seeing today these people gaining strength. I did a video some years ago in the Christian church. I did a video some years ago called Thunder Over Zion. It's a mighty video. Please get a hold of that video. We're going to offer it on the air today. Thunder Over Zion. Incredible video. And I quote a well-known rabbi who said, basically, that things are progressing very well in the world. The faith of Judaism is gaining more and more and more. It's got not only a foothold in Christianity, this rabbi says, but greater than that. Soon, he says, in the 21st century, we Jews will swallow up Christianity. That's the words he used. Swallow up Christianity. He said Christianity came out of Judaism and it will be folded back. It will return. In other words, be swallowed up back into Judaism. We spawned it, uncoiled it, and now we'll coil it back again as if you would do a water hose. Listen, friends, Christianity never came from Judaism. It came from Jesus Christ. And he, Jesus Christ, was not a Pharisee Jew. He criticized him. He said, you're a spawn of hell. You're serpents. He said, the house of Israel is left desolate until I return. These are scriptures that cannot be denied. He told John in the book of Revelation, this testament given to John, this witness of the last days and of how everything was to occur, the things to come. He said, beware of the synagogue of Satan. Now it is becoming fashionable today to say that the Antichrist will come from the Muslim faith. Now, if you want to know the truth about Muslim, I have two very informative CDs and audio tapes. One of them compares the true Jesus of the Bible versus the false Jesus of the Muslims. The second one goes into Allah, Muhammad, and the Islamic faith and shows you from its very start, from its beginnings, its origins and foundations, it was not a true faith of God. See, the title of that one, Jerry, I think is called The Star, the Cross, and the Crescent Moon. I even give you the meaning of the symbols, the star and the crescent moon in the Islamic faith. And by the way, I've asked several imams, that's their equivalent of a pastor, you might say, to explain to me the meaning of the Muslim star and crescent that you find on many, many of their mosques, their religious meeting places, and in their literature. What does that symbol mean? And they do not know the meaning of it. And yet the Muslims claim that they oppose idols and symbols. Oh, but in my, oh, by the way, the Black Stone too is one of the title names of that. They actually have a black stone idol that the Muslims visit when they go to their great pilgrimage to Mecca in Saudi Arabia. There they go in the Kaaba and they actually pay homage. They venerate, honor an idol, a black stone that they say fell from heaven. And of course you will also find these symbols, the crescent moon and the star. Symbols not of God, but of Satan. Now, I've exposed Islam. I'm not trying to tout the Muslim faith, but the Bible doesn't warn of the mosque of Omar or the mosque of Allah or Muhammad. It warns of the synagogue of Satan. Them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. They're not true Jews. If they were true Jews from the tribe of Judah, they would have recognized Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and believed in him. But they believe not. They rejected Jesus. If you do not have the Father, you do not have the Son. That's what it says in the Bible. 2 John 1:7 said, there are many deceivers have gone out in the world that do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Such persons, John the Apostle warned, are deceivers and are antichrists. There are many antichrists, forerunners for the antichrist, the beast with the number 666. 1 John chapter 2, John also says this, the antichrist is one who denies the Father and the Son. I'm paraphrasing it. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. But if you have the Son, you have the Father and the Son. Now, folks, these Judaizers have rushed into our churches today. And they're being honored. It seems that entire congregations of Pentecostals, Baptists, and other evangelicals are giving great honor to these Jewish Christians by promoting them and making them rabbis and heads, pastors of entire congregations. And they're bringing in the Zohar, the book of the Zohar, part of the Kabbalah. They're bringing in even Talmudic principles into Christian congregations. I've never seen this in my lifetime, but I'm seeing it now. Just as the Jews and the rabbis brought the New Age movement to the world, now they've infected, they've diseased our Christian churches, and they're there. And their books are big bestsellers. And one of the things they're promoting right now in Christian bookstores and in the Christian book world, and it's eating up the minds of Christians, it's corrupting them. They're saying the ones who we have to worry about in the last days are the Muslims. And from the Muslims will come the Islamic Antichrist. That's what we have to worry about. The beast will be a Muslim. He will be one who worships Allah and Muhammad. Not the Jews. The Jews are loving. The Jews are kind, pious, religious. They love the Old Testament. Why? Why we even, some of these rabbis are saying, why we even love Jesus. Oh, sure. Now I want to talk about this. Because many of you out there came out of this Christian Zionism. And thank God for you. You used to be an Israeli firster. You used to be a Zionist. You were taught to believe the Jewish people were better even than Christians. They were the seed of Abraham and the only seed. They were the God's chosen people and the only chosen. And you believed that Israel as a nation would be the greatest nation on earth when it was refounded again. And that we should honor Israel and give it military arms and military assistance. And we should never say one bad word about the Jews or Israel or God would punish us. You really believe that this nation in the Middle East today is the seed, the progeny of Abraham. But you've woken up. You're not asleep anymore. You're not lulled by the lullaby sung by the goddess of the New Age movement and the devils involved in the Judaic faith. You're awake. And now you know what the scriptures say. The scriptures say, watch out. Don't be a Judaizer. The Apostle Paul in Galatians says, who has bewitched you? Ye Galatians, that you'd fall away from the truth. He's saying you're falling back into Judaism. You're even believing in works and you don't even realize what the seed is. So even then in that Gentile city and province there in Galatia, the Greeks believe that some of the Jews who claim to be Christians, maybe some of them even said, I'm a rabbi. And they were teaching these new Christians, these Gentiles, that they needed to get with it and become Jews, or to get with it and believe in what the Jews were teaching in the synagogues. And they said, after all, we Jews are the chosen people of God. We're the seed of Abraham. Listen to us. We have a corner on the truth. And Paul said, no way. And then Paul explained who the seed was. The seed of Abraham. It's not the Jewish nation. The seed of Abraham was Jesus, is Jesus. And the seed of Abraham is everyone who believes and has faith in Jesus. And if ye are Christ, if you belong to Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, read it, especially verse 29. And if ye are Christ, in other words, belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise given Abraham, dear friends, dear Christian, listen to me, is yours through faith in Jesus. That's how you become the seed of Abraham. And Abraham never looked to an earthly city. He looked to a heavenly city, Paul said, which is heavenly Jerusalem, Zion in heaven. Don't look to that place in the Middle East and that filthy, dirty, pagan city of Jerusalem that dishonors our Lord and Savior and is desolate, Jesus said. Look to heavenly Jerusalem. I'll be right back. We're going to look more at the Islamic Antichrist and see where this idea came from. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Tex Mars here again, friends. I want to tell you about my video, Thunder Over Zion. It's a video that, well, you're not going to find anywhere else. A very important video, 60 minutes in length. You can get it in VHS format, the old VHS. I believe we still have that. And, of course, we have it in DVD, the newer format. It's the video where a rabbi is quoted as saying that Christianity came out of Judaism and is now in the process of being swallowed back in, swallowed up, he uses the term. Interesting, isn't it? Now, the Bible says there's going to be a lot of commotion, turmoil, and chaos all over the city of Jerusalem and Israel in the last days. It's important, all right, because Revelation 11 says that it is in Jerusalem where the beast comes up out of the earth, or out of the sea and the earth, actually, according to Revelation 13. There are two beasts. And one points people to the first beast. But that's another story. We'll have that someday soon. Because we're going to look at Bible prophecy because it's so vitally important. But Revelation 11 is the chapter in the book of Revelation that talks about the two witnesses. And they appear in that great city, Jerusalem, wherein our Lord was crucified, and they are slain. But out of the abyss, out of the pit, comes a great beast, Revelation 11 says. Did you know that in the Jewish Kabbalah, their system of holy books, so-called, they speak of a great beast, a serpent that rises up out of the abyss, out of the pit, that they say will be the Messiah for the Jews? They turned down Jesus, you see. Now they're waiting for a serpent Messiah in their Kabbalah. And some of these rabbis teaching in Christian churches today favorably quote the Kabbalah. One of them we're going to talk about in the next half of the program. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn of a large so-called Christian Messianic congregation in New Jersey. And he has one of the best-selling, in fact, I think it might be currently on the Christian bestsellers list is number one or two, called The Harbinger. And yet in his sermons, he often quotes from the Jewish Kabbalah, the system of sorcery and magic. Wow. And Christian congregations are buying into it because they believe that Rabbi Jonathan Kahn must have something important to say. He's a Jew. He's a rabbi. Oh, yeah. Thunder over Zion will tell you about the coming chaos because of this religious confusion and what it means for world history and the last days. Thunder over Zion, 60 minutes in length, $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. Ask for Thunder over Zion. Phone us today and get this. Please, during the work week, that is, Monday through Friday, call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also go on our website. That would be powerofprophecy.com or also texmars.com, TexMarrs.com. It'll bring you to the same place, of course, as powerofprophecy.com. They're one and the same, just have two different titles. You can order it there, use your charge card. You can write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Ask for the video DVD or VHS. Please specify Thunder Over Zion, one of the most important videos I have ever produced. Please order it as soon as possible. Now I want to mention, when you order things from us or as you can, we very much appreciate your love, gifts, donations, tithes to this ministry. We've been here over a quarter of a century now, and we're going to keep working for the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you my philosophy of life. I work for God, and I work with you. You're my teammate. You're my partner. You're my co-worker in the vineyard of Jesus Christ. I'm no greater than you, and you're no greater than me. And what we can accomplish through God is boundless, dear friends. We cannot be stopped. I defy Satan and the world. I defy them, but not in my own power, thanks to the blood of Christ. in which I supremely believe. This is my philosophy of life, dear friends. It's the way that I am happy. It's the way to true joy and liberty. Yes, there is liberty in Christ Jesus. And I want to invite you into that liberty. Now, the politicians, even Congressman Ron Paul, who I have some respect for, talk to you about liberty and freedom and those things. You are not free. You have no liberty if you belong to the devil. You're in shackles. You're captive. You've been taken prisoner. You're not a free person. You're a slave. You're a bondman or a woman. You're no better than the black slaves. And someday Satan will drag you to the blackest part of hell. Only believe. Fear not, Jesus says. Fear not. That's our philosophy here. And that's why I want to ask for your support. I ask for your support boldly because we need your help. And you know in your heart, we're the only one out there telling you these things. Everyone else practically is frightened to death for fear of the Jews. The Bible actually uses that terminology. And they're frightful. They're fearful of the Jews. I'm not fearful of anybody but God. I fear God. I love God. And why should I not fear him? Look at what an incredible, awesome being he is. And he loved me. And I should obey him. You know why? He knows me better than I know myself. He's wiser than me. He leads me into all things that are wonderful. I would have to be an idiot not to follow him. But he's the only one I do follow. I don't follow the president. I may have some respect or may honor for people of titles or whatever. But generally, it's this way, friends. I listen to God. People say, why do you preach on the subjects that you do? God calls me to do it. Why do you write on the subject you do? God calls me. Some say, with your intelligence, Tex, with your education, you've taught at 3 universities, you could become a millionaire many times over in today's world. Well, yeah. But that's not the path to happiness. The path to happiness is do whatever God wants. And if God gives you money and you live good, well, wonderful. If you have to live in a shack somewhere in the deep in the forest, that's okay too. You're going to be happy. Paul said he was happy in a jail cell. How's that possible? How is it possible to be happy in a prison cell? Because they cannot conquer your spirit. You have Jesus Christ inside. He can't be held down by bars. Be free. Have liberty. I do everything I want. I can't party. I can't drink. I can't have wild sex. I don't know, whatever you think it's freedom, but it's not. It's captivity. I, Tex Mars, do everything I want to do. Actually, sometimes I do a little bit more than I should. I eat too much, but that's another story. Even then, God says, I'm going to punish you for that. And he does. Yeah, I get, you know, lately I've been having to eat gluten-free things. We'll talk about that someday, dear friends. Yeah, you know, you can abuse your bodies. Too much food. Eating sweets and all these chemical-laced foods today. Well, okay, let's return to our regular program. But I did want to let you know how much we appreciate your love gifts, your donations. During the month of September, we're having Employee Appreciation Month. So if you give a love gift, a donation to the ministry, you want to give a little extra to the employees, do so. You know, they work many long hours, and I don't know of anybody here who objects to me calling them during the weekend or at night when we have a problem. I remember one time we had a big rainstorm, Jerry, and the place was flooded, and the books were going to all be ruined back in the storeroom and everything, and we call folks in, and here they were, you know, dragging through the rain and, you know, with their, I guess you call them galoshes or whatever, getting there and trying to, you know, lift the books up and put them. And, you know, they're like, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, working. But people who work in our ministry, they love their jobs. They love serving you. I think that's the key. This is how I evaluate people. Do they treat every person who calls or writes this ministry with love and respect and dignity, as Jesus does? And that's the main trait I look for. When I hire a person, I ask, is this the kind of person? And that's why we have some of the most friendly and sweet, nice people when you call us on the phone. We don't always have time. We can't just stop what we're doing and just, you know, respond to you for an hour. Well, we've got all kinds of things going on here. But I want you to know that we do care for you. My boss is God. I work with you. Okay? Now, God has called me to be a leader, but a good leader inspires and works with people. He's not the big boss who tells them, you know, and slaps them around. That's ridiculous. You know, listen, folks, I was in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years, and the best officers that I had over me were those who inspired me. I believed in them. And they were honest people. They were truthful. And they were good men. And you know what? To a man, if I look back, they believed in Jesus Christ. And they were officers in the U.S. Air Force. I think that made the difference in their life and how they were able to lead me and others. Okay, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the Antichrist. The Islamic Antichrist. There's a book out recently by a man named Joel Richardson. That's a big bestseller. The Islamic Antichrist. Oh, yeah. But it's not going to happen. Unless the Islamic Antichrist decides to open up the synagogue of Satan. Because Revelation 2 and 3 says it's the synagogue of Satan, not the mosque of the Islamic faith that we have to be concerned about in the last days. Jesus told the Jews and the Pharisees, he said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Someday one will come in his name, him you will receive. You see, the Antichrist is one the Jews will receive. Do you think the Jews will receive a Muslim? Of course not. Mr. Joel Richardson, he's written this book in groups like WorldNet Daily, the news people on the internet. And the head of that, Mr. Joe Farah, is the biggest radical, rabid Zionist freak you've ever seen in your life. So he wants to promote books like entitled The Islamic Antichrist. They want us to hate the Muslims. Let me tell you something, dear friends. The Muslims are a problem. The Muslims need Jesus Christ. And we don't help the Muslims by going over there bombing, using drones, and killing them left and right. You're not going to reach the Afghanis or the Iranians or the Syrians or the Lebanese by murdering them. I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. A nation like America, a rich, powerful nation that has the ability to send Bibles. Yes, Bibles. I don't care what they do with them. Pound them. Throw them. Bring them and parachute the Bibles in Arabic language. You say, well, they'll just pick them up and burn them. Not everybody. God may just call Ahmed or Mohammed in some little remote village to hide that Bible, take it back to his tent, take it back to his little primitive hut, and when no one's around, read the pages of it. God does these things, friends. Listen, and that's what we're here for. We're here to be missionaries, to send forth people to tell the Arabs of the love of Jesus, not to kill them. The Israelis want us to kill them. The Jews want to have a major war in the Middle East, and we're already over there fighting and killing and using drones and these high-tech helicopters and so forth and gunships and tanks to kill the Muslims. That's not of God. That's not the way to win people's hearts and minds either. And the Antichrist is not going to be a Muslim. Now, there's over 1 billion Muslims in the world. Now, how are they going to get this Antichrist? First of all, how can the Muslim world attack the United States? Some people say, well, they did it 9/11. Well, first of all, that's not even true. Read our book about who really did 9/11, written by Victor Thorne. You find out who did it. Israeli Mossad, rogue elements in the American CIA, and so forth. But in fact, even if they could come over here and perform an occasional terrorist act, how many Americans would die from that? Hey, folks, more people die in automobile accidents every year than would have died in 15 or 20 9/11s, just automobile accidents. The Arabs have no real military forces. They don't have nuclear missile launching submarines. They don't have huge aircraft carriers. Name me one nation that has an aircraft carrier over there. Did Saddam Hussein have stealth bombers and other aircraft that could reach America? Did he have intercontinental ballistic missiles? No. What are the Arabs going to do? Are they going to tie an atomic bomb on their back and swim across the oceans toward us? He said, well, they could take an atomic bomb. And one of these suitcase types, it's not as easy as you think, folks, these suitcase type bombs, and then explode in one of our cities. They could bomb a nuclear reactor. They could kill thousands. Folks, that's the way to death. Akhmedinejad in Iran, he knows that if he were able to get an atomic bomb, and guess what? Our own intelligence agency says he's not even working on one over there in Iran. If he could get just one nuclear bomb and explode it on America, and if it blew up, let's say, the city of Chicago or Detroit or New York or Los Angeles or Houston, can you imagine the retribution he would get? Can you imagine what we would do in retaliation if we had hundreds of thousands slain and with one nuclear bomb? Do you realize that we have tens of thousands of nuclear bombs? We have thousands of missiles on submarines in silos ready to go. We have troops in 140 nations on Earth. We would destroy Iran in minutes. Remember, Admiral William Fallon was head of all of our forces in the Middle East a few years ago. And he was asked by a magazine reporter, is Iran a real threat to us militarily? Do we have to worry about Iran's military? Let me read what he said. He said, this is Admiral William Fallon. He said, get serious. These guys are ants. When the time comes, you crush them. That's the military commander. They're ants. When the time comes, you crush them. Folks, Arabs and shoe bombs and all these other little things that people are worried about cannot compete with intercontinental ballistic missiles and American troops in 140 nations and aircraft carriers that can launch atomic-tipped aircraft. It's not going to happen. You want to know who can commit horrible crimes on this earth? First of all, we start with Israel, the nation itself, which has up to 400 nuclear bombs. Iran has zero. Syria has zero. Lebanon has zero. Jordan has zero. Libya has zero. Egypt has zero. How many does Israel have? We don't know, but probably 300 to 400 nuclear bombs. They stole the plans from us. Not only that, but they control the United States, do they not? They ride the beast. They're the woman, the whore that rides the beast. It's Israel we have to worry about. It's the Jews that run America, that tell America what to do. In any case, we don't have to worry about the Antichrist being Muslim. That's ridiculous. Let me tell you what the prophet Daniel said. He knows more than Tex Mars, even. Yes, he did. Much more. He said that the great evil person to come up in the world in the last days, the last days kingdom, he said. He said that the Jews would not worship the God of their fathers. He was referring to Jews. He didn't use the word Jews, but what he said was, they will not, the people will of this king, okay, that bring this king up, he said they will not worship the God of their fathers, but instead will worship the God of forces, to whom they will heap great treasure. They will not worship the God of their fathers. That's the Jews. They don't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If they did, they would believe in Jesus Christ, who was sent from heaven. They reject Jesus. They have other gods. They have the serpent god, Leviathan, as shown in their Zohar of the Kabbalah. And they worship themselves as gods. They're like demigods. They are a powerful race of holy men on earth. They're God's chosen. But who is their God? It's the serpent. I've proved that. Go to my website and read the article, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Now, listen very carefully, friends. They will not worship the God of their fathers. That's Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. But it will instead worship the God of forces. And that's what Israel's about today. They trust in their military power. They trust in their nuclear bombs. They trust in their submarines and their helicopter gunships and their tanks. And they're killing these Palestinians and the people who live in Gaza with the military force that we've given them. We've given them over $1 trillion worth of military equipment over the years. And they've got our nuclear bombs that we've given them the plans to, basically. They stole, but I think American Jews winked at it and helped them to get it. And they control the American White House. They're the ones that put Obama in office, as I proved in Rothschild's Choice. And now Romney is about to become president. And guess what? From the time he was a young man, he and Netanyahu worked together in Boston Consulting Group in Boston. And so they're joined at the hip. They've been friends all their life. When he was campaigning for president, Mitt Romney said, "The first thing I'm going to do after I'm elected is fly to Israel and ask him, what can we do for you?" What? I thought he was the American president, not the president of Israel. But no sooner was he not, did he really win the majority of the votes waiting for the convention that he flies over to Israel again. He's already flown to Israel. Before he's elected, he says, "If I'm elected, I'll fly again over there." Israel's only got 7.5 million people. Texas has three times. The state of Texas has three times. The state of California has over four times as many people as the entire nation of Israel. We can put the whole nation of Israel probably 10 times in the state borders of Texas. That's how tiny it is. How are they so powerful that the candidate of the Republican Party flew over there right after he got the nomination and before even the convention was held? And why is it he has promised to go over there again as soon as he's elected? The power of the Jews. They run this nation, friends. But remember, Mitt Romney is a Mormon, and Mormonism believes that they are two of the tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel. They believe they're Jews, spiritually. They're part of the 12 tribes. You say that's cockeyed. Well, yeah, it is. It's nonsense. It's not biblical. It's not historical. It's satanic gibberish. But Mitt Romney says, "I was a pastor in the Mormon faith." He was a pastor. He believes in it. He's a Jew, spiritually, he believes. He's going to do whatever the Jews say. The Jews will evangelize anybody where there are two young men being sent out. And by the way, that's how he got out of military service. He's a draft dodger. He said, "I'm a Mormon missionary. My name is Mitt Romney. Because I'm a Mormon missionary, I don't have to go. I get a religious exemption." All those Mormon missionaries out there, if we have a World War III that Mitt Romney causes, they won't have to go. They're nice, clean white boys who live in middle class and rich families in Salt Lake City and the other cities in Utah and elsewhere. And they all go for 2 years of their life as missionaries. So they have exemptions. They don't have to worry about being drafted. They're draft dodgers. It's interesting to me that the Orthodox Jews in Israel today, do you know they refuse to go in military service? See all those military guys, the Israeli Defense Forces? They're not Orthodox Jews. The Orthodox Jews sit on their back ends and let others do the dirty work of killing people. Orthodox Jews said, "We're too busy studying God through our Talmud and Kabbalah. We can't go in military service." That's right. I'm telling you the truth. Orthodox Jews refuse to serve in their military. But of course, we had Bill Clinton that refused to serve. We had Mitt Romney that refused to serve. Barack Obama, you think he'd spend one day in military service? Why? He's a regal monarch, half black, half white. He's like a god man. He's a prince. You know. Folks, there is no coming Islamic Antichrist. There's a man out there named Valid Shubat. Valid Shubat, S-H-O-B-A-T. Even his name seems fake, but it really is his real name. He claims to be a Palestinian terrorist turned Zionist. He claims that he, back in Palestine, in Israel, he actually, along with his Palestinian terrorist friends, they bombed a hotel. But then he saw the light of Jesus, and now he's going around all these Christian churches making all kind of money. Even the government is paying Mr. Shubat and others like him. They say they're ex-terrorists. They're fakes. They're never terrorists. He's going on all these Messianic Jewish programs. A man named Sid Roth. I believe he's up in New Jersey. It doesn't matter where he's from. He has a national Christian radio program. And Valeed Shubat is one of his most popular guests. And he goes on there and he claims that the number 666 in Arabic means in the name of Allah. So he says, see, the Antichrist will be a representative of Allah. Because the number 666, those three words in Arabic mean Allah. Now, how does he know that they mean Allah? He says, well, I have seen the Codex Vaticanus. In other words, one of the most famous of manuscripts of the New Testament. And to my surprise, I discovered that it was written originally, in other words, by the apostles and so forth, and the writers of the New Testament. It was written originally in Arabic. And so I can read it because I know Arabic because I'm a Palestinian. I'm an ex-Muslim. I'm an ex-terrorist. He warns people that the coming Antichrist will be a Muslim. And he says that's why he's a Christian today. Turns out he's a fake. Even the Israeli government themselves says he was never a terrorist, Mr. Shubat. Even the Jerusalem Post says that much of what he claims to be is fakery. And in fact, my friends, I know a little bit about Bible versions. I know a little bit about the origins of the Bible. The New Testament, including the book of Revelation, was written in Greek. It was never written in Arabic. And the Codex Vaticanus that he talks about is Greek. So again, Mr. Shubat is going around to Sid Roth's program and all these Christian churches and making a lot of money claiming that the Antichrist will, you know, come under the name of Allah. And this Shubat fella, that's gained a huge audience, and he's written books that are big bestsellers in the Christian book market, claims that one of these early manuscripts, actually didn't really come out to about the 4th century, of the Codex Vaticanus is written in Arabic. It is not. It's written in Greek. And it doesn't even contain the book of Revelation. If it doesn't contain the book of Revelation, how can it contain chapter 13 of the book of Revelation that he claims is written in Arabic? The guy doesn't even know his Bible. He doesn't know the history of the Bible. And he's made up this thing. And, you know, Christians believe it. Oh, did you hear? One Christian will tell another when they hear this Valeed Shubat speaking to church. This Palestinian ex-terrorist told us the truth, the inside story about the evil Muslims. He used to be one. And he says that the number 666 applies to Allah. And it's in Arabic in the New Testament. A big hoax. Sid Roth, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. All you people out there that listen to people like Valeed Shubat, he is a fraud. That's all there is to it. And there are other frauds out there going around teaching such things as these. I think Jonathan Cahn, in my belief, he's a fraud because he doesn't tell the people what the Kabbalah really is all about. He's got this bestseller book, The Harbinger. Yeah. It's a harbinger, all right, because what it really tells you is that the Jews are coming, folks. The rabbis are here, and they're teaching falsehoods and bringing them into the church. And Jonathan Cahn, by the way, is being promoted by none other than Jim Baker, of old Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Messner fame. That's right, Jim Baker's still around. And Mr. Cahn, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, says he's my mentor. Jim Baker is his 21st century mentor. So much for the Islamic Antichrist and these Jewish rabbis who are preaching falsehoods and are swallowing up the Christian church today. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Folks, don't listen to these false teachers bringing these old wives' tales into the churches today. Read the Bible for yourself. You'll come to love the words of Jesus Christ. You'll come to know the truth. Until next week, dear friends, my prayer is that you'll tune in and discover the power of prophecy.